we'll start over. Good morning, family. It's good to see everyone here. We've got a lot of people out traveling, and we do have Rob and Velma back from West Virginia. Glad that they had a safe trip. The lads are out this week and next week traveling, so let's pray for them that they have a safe trip. There's a lot of people listed in the messenger that are on our sick list, so please keep them in your prayers. James is doing better from his kidney surgery, but he's still weak and trying to gain his strength back, so continue to pray for him. And then remember Rhoda and her family and the passing of her ex-husband, Henry, and Jerry Stevens and the passing of his nephew, George, recently. So keep everyone in prayers. We all need to sing out this morning as we praise and worship God. And our first song is going to be number 296, We Have Come Into His House. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Come, let us all unite to sing, God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring, God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, our God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. No tale to us remote is bound, God is love. In Christ we have redemption found, God is love. His blood has washed our sins away, his Spirit turned our night to day. And now we can rejoice to say that God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. How happy is our portion here, God is love. His promises, our spirits cheer, God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way. Our God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. Number 123. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will hope in him. Before Harvey leads us in our prayer list, it's in number 115, Sweet Peace. We pray for peace. And we hope for peace. Because the Bible says there will always be wars and rumors of wars. But the only true peace comes through Jesus and through and from God. That's what one of the things I'm sure Stephen will bring out to us this morning about our love or for the love of God. There comes to my heart one sweet strain, a glad and a joyous refrain. I sing it again and again. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. Peace, peace, sweet peace. Wonderful peace from above. Oh, wonderful, wonderful peace. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. Through Christ on the cross, peace was made. My debt by his death was all paid. No other foundation is laid for peace, the gift of God's love. Peace, peace, sweet peace, wonderful peace from above. Oh, wonderful, wonderful peace. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. In Jesus for peace I abide, and as I came close to his side, there's nothing but peace doth betide. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. Peace, peace, sweet peace, wonderful peace from above. Oh,
wonderful, wonderful peace, sweet peace, the gift of God's love.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day and the blessings we have. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house to sing praises to you and worship. We ask that you bless the sick and afflicted of the congregation and comfort those who need comfort. And we ask that you go with us through the rest of this service, and may it be a glory and triumph for you. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll see number 176, Lamb of God. As many times as you read the Old Testament, you probably have read about the Israelites offering sacrifices to God, a perfect lamb, an unblemished lamb. And they did that until Christ came, who was the perfect Lamb of God. Let's sing about that before we partake of the Lord's Supper.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to become a Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Jesus' word tells us, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give in my is my flesh,
which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, another opportunity that we have to gather in our heaven to take it easy. Thank you so much, Father, for the sacrifice that Jesus made for each one of us. I'm thankful for this loaf, which is for us as Christians, his body that hung on the tree for each one of us. We pray, Father, that those who partake of this may do so and pray unto you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father in heaven, in like manner to be given to you, I thank you for this cup, this fruit of the vine, which to us is Christian, the blood of our Lord and Savior, that cleanses us from all sin. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to take. And again, we pray that those who do and they do so in a way that is acceptable unto you. This concludes the Lord's Supper. At this time, we take advantage that we might give back to the Lord as he has given to each one of us. Father in heaven, we thank you for this good life that you bless us with. All that we have and know, we realize is a gift from you to us. Not that we deserve or own anything, but it's by your mercy and your grace and your love for us that we're allowed to have the things that we get. At this time, Father, we wish to give back a portion of what we've been blessed with. And we pray, Father, that we might do so with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name we pray.
This morning, scripture reading comes from Jude, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
This morning, before Stephen brings us a message from God's Word, we're going to sing number 122, The Love of God. If you will, let us stand for the singing and before the lesson.
Since the love of God is shed, priceless blessings on my head, I have made it my own. I have found it in my heart that it never may depart. It shall rule there alone, the love of God within the heart will kindliness and warmth impart. The soul will glow like Jesus in his tender mercy if the heart is made his dwelling place, the love of God within. Through endless years, it is the same. The love of God will never fail nor lose its glory till we see him face to face. While his love burns true and bright, we are walking in the light. He has shown us a road. We his glory must reflect, lest our dimness and neglect keep some soul from its God. The love of God within the heart will kindliness and warmth impart. The soul will glow like Jesus in his tender mercy, if the heart is made his dwelling place, the love of God glows like a flame through endless years, it is the same. The love of God will never fail nor lose its glory till we see Him face to face.
You may be seated.
Good morning. So as I had about a good week to prepare for the lesson today, which is enough time, I think, but especially not a jury, but I can definitely try my best to bring a lesson to you, and hopefully you get something from it as I try. Every time I sit down, I usually try to do it in between clients or even though I'm probably not supposed to say that because I'm sure he's watching, but I usually just try to think of ways to drive a point across the way that I will understand it, which is pretty simple because I'm not a very complicated person. So hopefully it shows off in that as well. So when I thought about a lesson, I thought about sayings and what people say, and I'm like, well, some people say, for the love of God. And some people say, well, maybe you can take that and use it in vain. But I don't think that's necessarily the case here. This is basically what is for the love of God. Everything is for the love of God. Everything we do is for the love of God. God's love is for us. And He shares it with us daily and gives it to us and allows us to be here and to accept His Son and you know, have a home in heaven at some point when He calls for us to come home. So God's love is real, and for us we may find perfect joy and delight in God. God wants us to win confidence and love that we are completely at home in His presence, enjoying Him and enjoying His love. It is possible for a child of God to be truly loved and be loved by God and still not know God's attitude towards you. Many of God's children think God is continually displeased with them, or at least disappointed in them. They think of many faults that they've had in their lives, and they think that they cannot see how it could be anything other than that. Regardless of that, and regardless of what we may think of ourselves, God takes pleasure in His people. In Psalms 147, verse 11, says God takes pleasure in them, and that God takes pleasure in them that fear Him and those that hope in His mercy. All believers fear God, respect God. So that verse is referring to God's people. Of course, that's us. And again, the Bible says in Psalms 149, verse 4, For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. How can God take pleasure in me, and sometimes when I have many faults and failures in my life? The answer is that He sees me in Christ, and He loves me. The way to enjoy a person is to love that person, and God loves us. When you really love a person, you do not focus on their faults. You simply love them regardless of their faults. That is why the Lord places such a great importance on us as Christians to love one another. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4, verses 8, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sin. God loves us, and that surely includes you and me. God's love for us covers all of our multitudes of sin. The infinite love which God has in His heart for us is the source of all that He does for us. Sometimes we feel like we can't explain or even understand it sometimes, but from the Bible we can learn many things about God's love. God's love is eternal. It's forever and even after forever. Just as God Himself had no beginning, His love has no beginning, as it's internal. In Ephesians 1, verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How blessed are we to know that God loves us? He called heaven and earth into existence for us. He set his heart upon us long before we were even born. At times we can feel God's love is personal. God does not just love mankind in general. He knows and loves each of us individually. Jesus said, even in the very hairs on your head are all numbered. And that's in Luke 12, verse 7. Some people think that God thinks that because they sin or because they have faults, that caused men to run from God. It's not the sin that God hates, or it's not the sinner that God hates, it's the sin. God loves every person regardless of the sin. The man who does not receive Christ as his Savior will die unsaved, but he will not die unloved. Every believer is especially precious to God. God loves us the way that we are, but he loves us too much to leave us the way that we are. So we try to learn and grow in spiritual love and he will teach us his ways. He will correct us sometimes when we're wrong. And at times, if we're not saved, we will be chastened. We will be punished, at the end of judgment. And it's as weird as, I guess, in some aspects of what I'm thinking is that it's due to love. You know, he gives us these, tools and gives us these abilities to love one another and to do good and to be saved. And you know, if you don't accept that and do that, you can be punished, or you will be punished. So God's love is also unconditional. So in oftentimes in human love or in our love, we often put our certain conditions on other person. Well, I will love you if you do this. Well, I will love you as long as you do this to please me. God places no conditions on us. He loves us not because of what we are or what we do, but because who he is. God is love. He is the absolutely unconditional love. God is also unchanging. God said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. The Bible says that God, there is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. And that's in James 1, verses 17. Therefore, there could be no change in God's love. And our type of love, it can grow strong, it can grow weak, it could cease to exist in some cases. But God's love is completely unchanging. So one example also is that Jesus also loved his disciples. He loved him with the love that never changed. One event is that the Last Supper with the disciples before Jesus' death. Jesus knew that Peter would deny him three times with cursing and that the others would forsake him. But that did not affect the love that Jesus had for his disciples. In John 13, verses 1, it says, when Jesus knew that his hour has come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Sometimes also the one thing that I've picked up is that God can sometimes make it seem like or even in some aspects in things that happen in our life, if you're struggling or if you fall ill, or you could blame God, and some people do, and some people say, well, God doesn't love me because of this happened. One example is and how to overcome that is Paul. And his life was not a life of ease. In Acts 9, verse 16, it was the Lord had said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So the Apostle Paul, he suffered greatly for Jesus' sake. He lost everything that the world counts as important, but he lived in the conscious enjoyment of God's love. And in Romans 8, verses 35 through 39, it says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will trouble or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for the sake we encounter death all day long, we were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers, nor things that are present, nor things to overcome, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord. So he was having hard times. He lost everything. And yet he still had the love of God. He still was strong in the love of God. And that got him through those things. And of course, I believe that that also is a shining example as to what we can do. It's hard at times, sometimes when you're down and of the world and depressed and anxiety-ridden and lonely. To know that, you know, you still have the greatest gift of all, which is God's love. We also know God's love by Jesus' ultimate sacrifice. We know it by Christ's death on the cross. A lot of the things that Satan does, he's there to produce distrust and rebellion in the hearts of Christians and of men. God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ that he might be known and trusted and loved by men. The death of Jesus on the cross for us is one of the most internal proofs of the love that God has for us. In Romans 5 verses 6 through 8, it says, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If we ever should ever doubt God's love, we should always look at that and read and study Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection and how that could ultimately be perceived as one of the, like I was saying, you know, proof that, you know, that's defying proof that God loves us. Not only were we loved by the Father, but we were also loved by the Son that he made that ultimate sacrifice to go on that cross. He did this because he loved us. And Jesus said in John 15:3, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You ever tempted to ever say, doesn't anybody love me? Remember that Jesus said that he does. And he proved his love beyond the slightest of doubt. We also know God's love by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Something, of course, again, it's like you're not able to see wind, you're not able to see the oxygen in the air, but the presence of the Holy Spirit is there, even though it's not visible to your eyes. It's visible to your soul, it's visible to your heart, it's visible to your surroundings. And God wants us to experience His love that He has given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts. And in Romans 5:5 it says, the love of God is spread abroad, poured into the hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. We have some proof as well as how much God loves us, although there's lots of different scenarios and evidence in the Bible of God's love. But like I was saying, it's the death of Jesus on the cross, and then the indwelling Holy Spirit that is an internal proof of God's love for us. As Christians, we cherish our wonderful truth that we know that God loves us. We know by the expression of the death of God's Son and by the Holy Spirit that pours in our hearts. So also, God, He wants us to be delivered from the bondage, from being bonded to fear, to be bonded from sin. He loves all people. Whether they're saved or unsaved, God still loves them. He takes, of course, when people who are saved and who believe and make that heartfelt decision to be baptized, to be saved, sometimes Satan can strike and make you think that, oh, well, you have to live up to a certain standard to meet God's merit of love. Or there's a bar that's risen to meet God's love, and you're never going to meet that. So they think that they're a failure. Or how could God possibly love someone like me who's not going to reach that height of, I'm not going to ever know everything about the Bible, or I'm not ever going to be perfect. But thoughts of those come from Satan. God wants us to be occupied with Christ, but Satan wants to keep us occupied with ourselves. Sometimes Satan will say, look at yourself. You don't even measure up. You're supposed to be a child of God, but you're a failure. If you would just live right and do right, God would love you, but He couldn't love someone like you, someone who is such a disappointment to Him. A lot of the times that goes through people's heads and they give up. Or they say that they can't take it anymore. They can't move forward a lot of the times. And that's where if they reach out, you know, where we can help and grab onto them and show them that God loves them and help them see the truth of God's love. Because if we accept the lies that Satan spews, we're going to be living in that sin-filled bondage. And the one thing that can set us free is God's truth. And in John 8:32, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And what is the truth about God's love? The truth is that God loves me because what He is, not because of what I am or what I do. So God loves me because of who God is, not because of who I am or what I do. My actions that follow the steps of Jesus will allow me to reach that eternal home in heaven. If I think that sometimes what I am or what I do will some way affect God's love towards me, I will be full with that spirit of bondage that I was speaking about. And then the truth is that God loved me when I was at one of my very worst possible states. He still loved me regardless. When I was without strength, ungodly, a sinner, yet God loved me with His boundless love. He proved His love for me in all of the possible ways. And of course, now, you know, that I'm a believer and a Christian and study, and, you know, sometimes, like I said, I don't know everything, but I definitely love to read about it and love to gather other opinions and do my own research and talk about it with my fellow Christians, it definitely doesn't make me feel like a failure when I do that. And it makes me know that, you know, God loves me and that God is love. And in Romans 5:10, it also says, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his love, Christ's life in us. We are as loved as Christ is loved. God's love rested on Christ when he was here on earth, and it rests on him in heaven now. And it also rests on us because we are in Christ. In 1 John 4:17 says, herein are love made perfect, because as he is, so are we in this world. A lot of the times when Satan comes with his lies and accusations, we should not try to argue with him, but just say, hey, I know I fail often, but God accepts me and loves me because I am in Christ. We also want to enjoy God. We want to be able to enjoy the love that God has for us and the things that are coming to us because of the love that God has. We must know and believe God's love for us to enjoy it. And we also must love God to enjoy God's love. This world is not our home. We don't belong to the world. We do not fit in. We are not in heaven. So where are we to live in the meantime? Here. We are meant to live here and enjoy God's love for us. Like it says in 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he dwells in love, and love dwells in God, and God in him. God has made his love known to us that we might have a home for our poor aching hearts, and that home is the love of God and known to believe and in heaven. God's love also as we are in Christ, God puts in Christ that we might know and enjoy his love. Christ ever lives in the love of his Father. Since we are in Christ and one with him, we are entitled to live in the love of God. That the Bible also says in Jude 20-21, but you, beloved, building up yourself on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into the dwelling life. But what does that phrase mean, keeping yourself in the love of God? It means to keep ourselves in the enjoyment of God's love. We can never take ourselves out of God's love, but we can take ourselves out of the enjoyment of God's love. God wants us to be in the conscious enjoyment of his love and Christ's love for us. And as it says in John 15:9, as my Father has loved me, so have I loved you in my love. And how can we continue to abide in the enjoyment of Christ's love? He tells us in the next verse, by keeping his commandments. When we are obedient to his word, we will enjoy his love for us. And then Jesus also said, if you love me, keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. We must love God, as simple as that. The way to enjoy a person is to love that person. That is true with people, it's definitely true with God. The way to enjoy God is to love him. God loved us from eternity. He has drawn us to himself that we might love him and trust him. Our love for him is simply our response to his first loving us. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. When we consider how much God loves us and the price he paid to redeem us, it is only right that he should have our full and undivided love. God has wonderful things for those who love him. In Psalms 91:14-16, it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. If we love God and spend time with him, he will reveal to us all those wonderful things of Christ and his wonderful purpose for us. Also, God fills and satisfies us with his love, his goodness, and his grace in order that we might love him. It is only by loving God that we can enjoy the spiritual blessings. We must guard up against any influence that dulls the sense in our soul of in our souls of the love of God or dulls the love of God. And Jude 21, which was the verse that Jared brought to us, was keep yourself in the love of God. Now you have known and believed the love of God has for you. Are you living in a conscious enjoyment of God's love? Have you made God's love your home? Is God the supreme love of your heart? The first love of your heart? God has given his heart to us that he might have our heart for himself. So with love and believe and all that, we also want to talk a little bit about joy. God wants us to enjoy him and enjoy his great salvation. It is his that we will be filled with joy and peace and that we abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Romans 15:3, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. If we are occupied with what we are saved from, that is relief. But if we are occupied with what we are saved to, we are filled with all joy and peace in believing. We also believe that Jesus Christ has been exalted to the right hand of God and that he is coming soon to take us to be with him forever. If we do not look for things to improve here, we look up to heavens for all the blessed things which will soon to be coming from there. We can look up to Christ on the throne and rejoice that all the promises of God are established in him. Like in 2 Corinthians 1 verses 20, it says, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. So be it unto the glory of God. It is a great thing to know where to turn to for joy. We are new persons in God's creation. Our life, our future, and our inheritance are all in Christ, glorified and exalted. Christ is our everything. He satisfies our heart completely. That is one of the secrets to joy. We rejoice in the Lord himself. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. As to our circumstances, we are in this world with its problems and temptations. But in our mind and heart and spirit, we have traveled to another scene where there is nothing but joy. We rejoice in Christ. Our portion is there and we know it. In 1 Peter 1 verses 8, it says, whom having not seen you love, and whom through now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full glory. We have to seek these things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God in order to be fulfilled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If we seek our joy in the world and these things of this world, we are sure to be disappointed. But if we set our affection on things above, our hearts are lifted into the blessed scenes of where joy, where Christ is. God would give us now, by faith and by the Spirit's power, such heavenly joy and peace in our hearts that we would look beyond some of our worldly circumstances and the things of this world. God wants our hearts and minds to be filled with bright anticipation of the glory that will soon be ours with Christ eternally. In Colossians 3 verses 4 it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Settle it in your heart today that it is God's will that you will be filled with joy and peace in believing, and that you abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit for the love of God. That's it. Thank you. I appreciate you guys allowing me to show a little bit of what I, sometimes the process of me thinking when I study the Bible, and of course sometimes I may not make too much sense, but I hope you got something out of it. Thank you.
We know the love of God gave his son die on the cross for our sins. And as one of the scriptures Stephen used was, he expects us to keep his commands. And one of his commands is to obey him. Once we hear and believe who Jesus is and that he gave his life for us, confess our sins, we repent of what we've done, and we're baptized for the remission of our sins. So if anyone needs prayers or needs to obey the Lord today, we invite you to come as we stand and we sing number 111. Through his grace, we are saved. Marvelous grace of our loving God, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was shed. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Thank you, Stephen, for that lesson. And most of the effort is getting up here and standing in front of people, right? I was shy at one time, and I guess I still am shy, but anyway, it embarrassed me to get up in front of people, but as you get older, it kind of changes. So thank you for that, and thanks for being here this morning to worship God. God loves each one of you, but he expects you to keep his commandments. And everything that we do in this life is to do what? Glorify God in all we do. We're going to sing number 129, Grace. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there'd be no reason to be here. We'd all be doomed. But it's because His grace we are here to worship God. Come back tonight at 7. We're in 1 Corinthians 10 in our adult class. And how many do we have, Jerry? 32. That's a good number for all the ones that are out traveling. So keep them in your prayers. First verse of number 129, Amazing Grace, before Jared leads us in our closing prayer. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today, and thank You for everything You've blessed us with. Thank You. We've been able to come together this morning and worship You. And we pray that as we leave here that we would always be examples of what You want us to be in our life and everything that we do. We ask that You be with everyone that's sick and hurting. Please watch over them and give them healing at this time. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus, and it's in His name that we pray. Amen.